Good afternoon and welcome to the School for Successful Ranching. My name is Lauren Urbanczyk and I'll be moderating this session today. At this time, I would like to ask you to please place all cell phones on silent and please remove your hats. So we would like to take this time to thank our generous sponsors of the School for Successful Ranching for their support of this program and commitment to producer education. They have small displays set up in the hallway on this floor, and we ask that you visit their booths in the expo and say thank you.
Yes.
We couldn't do this program without them. Sponsors include Capital Farm Credit, Dow AgriSciences, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, Lone Star Ag Credit, Merck Animal Health, Stay Tough Fence Manufacturing, Bayer, Micro Technologies, Diacero, Texas Range Minerals, Neogen Geneseek, Rabo AgriFinance, Texas Beef Quality Assurance, and Sylvia's Insurance Group. If you're a new TSCRA member, we're holding a new member orientation tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. in room 101. We hope that you can come learn more about what the TSCRA does for you and for the cattle industry. Our next presentation is an exciting demonstration of the value of proper injection sites presented by Dr. Joe Paschal, Dr. Tom Hargrove, and Dr. Dan Hale, all with the Texas A&M University System. Please join me in welcoming our speakers.
Thank you. I'm going to stand up here. I'd like to, Dr. Hale has a white frock coat on. He's our extension meat specialist. And Dr. Tom Hargrove is in a blue shirt. That sort of the uniform is khaki pants and a blue shirt today. But Dr. Hargrove is our food animal veterinarian. And so we get an opportunity to kind of talk about injection site abscesses. Even if you do things right, sometimes you'll still get an abscess or you'll leave a blemish. And so we thought we'd talk a little bit about that today. This calf, this heifer was a sacrifice. She was vaccinated. She was injected with some different products. Some of those products were administered in a proper way. Some of them were not. Some were administered in the proper dose, in the proper manner, subcutaneous or perhaps intramuscular. Some were not. And so we're going to show you that. But as we start, thought we'd visit a little bit about, learn how to operate this thing, visit a little bit about some injection sites. So this is what we're trying to avoid. Okay, this is in a ribeye. And you can see that this type of an injection site showing up on your plate down at an Outback Steakhouse or Ruth Chris, you might know what it is, okay, but obviously the other 98% of the folks that are going to be eating there would not. So we know that injection sites have been a problem, have been an issue. They're less of an issue today than they have been in the past because we've done things like National Beef Quality Audit. The National Beef Quality Audit has both fed and non-fed, so steers and heifers coming out of the feed yard, as well as our cull cows and bulls. And so when visiting with the packers, asking them what the big problems were with the carcass that they were seeing, you can see right there in red, change the injection site location. This first showed up back in 1991, and you can see that although it's not at the top of the list, in 2005, nor in the most recent one in 2016, it's still up there in the top 10 and still needs to be addressed. If we look at the market cow and bull audits, essentially we see injection site prevalence still being in the top 10. And it's not necessarily that they're a major issue in every carcass that they see, but if they see any, then they have to stop the line, clean up that abscess, and that costs downtime as well as loss of product. So this is an example of supposedly a piece of roast beef that showed up in an Arby's sandwich. Okay, and so if you look at this, you see five different pieces of meat are affected. So everybody that had lunch today over at the cattle raisers, you saw the brisket laying there, right? And so just imagine if you'd reached down there and grabbed five slices of brisket and put on your plate, and that abscess would have been in all five slices, okay, how that would have affected your satisfaction with the meal. This is an old slide taken back almost 20 years ago at Colorado State. They gave a 5cc injectable clostridial bacterin at branding time at about 50 days of age. When the calf was slaughtered, after he was fed and slaughtered, now he's 18 months of age, and they opened up the top round, looking at the top round in this calf, you can see that we have four slices that are affected by that 5cc injection 16 months ago. Okay, so typically what you would see is that would become hard, it'd become gristle. It wouldn't necessarily be an abscess like you see here. And that's what we're trying to avoid. The other thing that's important to understand that when we used to give shots in the hindquarter, and we used to give injections in the hindquarter, that was the round state. And so wherever you give an injection, you damage the meat. You insult the meat, the muscle fibers. And so when you have that, when those muscle fibers start to heal, basically what happens is that you create a lot of gristle. You create a lot of spider webbing, and that affects the overall tenderness, sometimes to as much as 3 inches away. So you don't affect just the area around the injection site blemish or abscess or injection site, but you do affect the tenderness up to 3 inches away. And so everybody's familiar with the flat iron steak. It's been around with us a while. It's about the third most tender muscle, okay, discovered using checkoff funds and looking at a carcass profile, the serratus ventralis. And so I've got an arrow, red arrow pointing there. It shows you where it's located. Okay, so it kind of gives you an idea. If you're as old as I am, you used to call those seven bone steaks. Okay, that comes out of the chuck. That's the chuck blade steak. That yellow portion that you see up there, that's actually the ligamentum nuchae. That's the nuchal ligament. So that's the yellow cartilage. But if you get too close to the neck, is where we've moved all of our injection sites out of the hip, out of the back, up to the neck, in front of the shoulder. If you get too close to that shoulder blade, you have the possibility on intramuscular injection of 5cc's to actually have product bleed over into the serratus ventralis or the so-called flat iron or Denver steak. And so we really try to get folks to think about using a tendon technique in their subcutaneous injections, and that's where you actually pull the hide back. And I realize it takes two hands, okay, to do it properly. The animal has to be properly restrained. It's not one of those that you can do bending over the chute, okay, standing on a catwalk and the animal's moving back and forth. You actually have to put them in a squeeze chute in case they're hit. And then, of course, when you're using that sort of technique, you might also use a smaller needle, okay, with proper restraint, and you can actually use like something like a 5/8, what's called a bevel needle. So a bevel needle has a much shorter tip, and it's not quite as sharp, and so they reach in, and it actually folds that skin up so that you don't actually have to use both hands to do that. But the tendon technique is what's desired for a subcutaneous shot or underneath the skin. This is an insurance knot, and I think we've all seen those on our cattle. It doesn't mean that the vaccination or the Bactrin didn't work. It means that you just had a site reaction, and most of the time you'll see that site reaction pulls off with a hide. It may be because the needle was slightly dirty. It may be because you didn't get it completely through the hide. But whatever happens, you still had an antibody reaction. You still had an antigen reaction. So it did work. And so when you pull the hide off, this is what you see. See that little bitty pus pocket right there? That's the hide that's being pulled off. So we pull that injection site off. Believe it or not, when folks run cattle through the sale ring and the order buyers are buying them, they like to see those injection site knots. That means that something's been done to those cattle. They may tell you they don't want it, okay, but that's the way that they know that somebody's laid hands on those cattle and has put some sort of vaccine in those animals. So some steps to avoid injection site lesions real quickly. Main thing is read the label. Okay, so each Bactrin, each vaccine, each antibiotic comes with three labels, right? One on the box, the piece of paper that we always throw away on the ground, and then there's directions on the label, on the bottle itself. Which one of those is most important? Which one of those is most current, most accurate? The one on the bottle. Okay, and so there's a number of things on that bottle that you need to read. You need to read the dosage, the route of administration, okay, what it's supposed to be used for, the species it's supposed to be used in, and probably most importantly is the expiration date. And so, you know, use clean needles and syringes. Change needles at least by 10, and preferably when they get dull, before 10. Okay? Use less than 10 cc's per injection site for most products. There's one product that allows you to use more than that per injection site, but it states it on the label. If you have to give 12 cc's, use two sites. If you're given two injections on one side of the neck, make sure that they're at least a hand's width apart and well in front of that shoulder blade. Okay? Use clean. You don't have to necessarily wipe it down with alcohol, but use a clean spot. Okay? Don't try to inject through a pile of manure or mud. And then finally, think about using the least irritating order on whatever it is that you're going to use. And so the least irritating order is topical or on top of the back or intranasal. Unfortunately, in cattle, we don't have many vaccines that you can pour on or squirt up their nose. And so then we have subcutaneous and intramuscular injections that are our choices. So on this heifer, you see that there are some different colored boxes. And so if we look at the yellow box across the top, that's where we would put pour-ons. And I want to tell you that even though we're talking about injection sites, when you're using a pour-on dewormer or insect control, do not dump it all at the withers. Don't put it all on the shoulders. It's most of those products tell you to put them in a line from the shoulders back to the hip. We need to maximize the coverage area of that product so that it can move into the system. Then you see two blue boxes towards the bottom of the animal. One's at the elbow pocket. That's this area back here if you're not familiar with it. A lot of times in show cattle, we'll put subcutaneous vaccine in the elbow pocket on the left-hand side because that's where the animal's being led from the left-hand side. So if there is a little injection site reaction, it can't be seen. But that's a good place for subcutaneous injections. And then you see right there on the dewlap, there's a very large rectangular blue box, and that's also been approved for subcutaneous injections. We don't do that much here in this state, but they do a lot in the 17 western states. Okay, then finally you see two large four-sided figures, one sort of a green and one sort of a dark blue. Okay, the dark blue really is kind of the area that we talk about in terms of giving subcutaneous injections. The green is where we really want to give the intramuscular injections. The green is smaller, okay, it's much more forward of the shoulder because we want to make sure that we don't get the injection in the muscle down into the serratus ventralis or into the flat iron, okay? So we use a group processing treatment map, and we actually used that when we vaccinated this heifer 2 weeks ago. And so we have an idea of where the animal is, what its individual number is, or what group it belongs to. And then you can see two large Ghostbuster signs on the hip, right? That's to remind us that really nothing goes in the hip. And I always have people say, well, I'm doing AI work, and the ovaries of this heifer are back here in the hind quarter, and so the hormones that are going to affect it, I want to make sure that they get close. Guess what? The hormones are in the brain, okay? And so even if you're doing AI work and you're injecting progesterone or GnRH, do it in the neck, okay? Do it in the neck. And so use this map. You can also put a list on there for any implants, any pour-ons that you use, any vaccines or Bactrins, and even any antibiotics. And you can download this particular processing map by going to the texasbeefquality.com, and downloading that. So if we look at what y'all have done, okay, in terms of end users, we've overall really moved the injection site problem down the list. Even though it's still sort of in the top 10, sort of top of mind, most of those have been in our non-fed beef cattle, in the cull cows and steers, and most of them not in our beef cattle. So we'll do some different things. This actually happens to be an example of a clostridial vaccine. So black leg, 5 cc's were given in the neck, okay, intramuscularly, and it was approved for subcutaneous vaccine. And when they did a CAT scan at the vet school, this is what you see. So you see the oblong red shape. That is actually the injection site mass that we saw as a result of that 5 cc intramuscular injection. If you look at happens to be an intravenous injection, not many of us do those things, but sometimes you actually miss the vein and it comes out into the muscle, into the meat, and so that's what it looks like. That would have to be trimmed out. This is Micotyl. It's an antibiotic injection. Okay, it wasn't given in this steer, but this steer is being used as an example. A 3 cc intramuscular in the elbow pocket, but it's approved for sub-Q now. And so this is what you see. It has to be trimmed out. Now, that's not necessarily a high quality or a high value cut, but still it has to be trimmed out. This is Flunixin, okay, or Banamine injection, a 3 cc product that was given intramuscularly in the eye of the round, which is a high value product. Okay, and what we see when we open it up is this is what the sort of injection site reaction that you see. Okay, and then Enroflaxin, Doc, what is Enroflaxin? Batrel, yeah, I apologize. I had a senior moment. 10 cc's intramuscular in the outside round. It's labeled for sub-Q only in cattle. And this is a nasty injection site abscess that you see here. So, and then finally, we have oxytetracycline given in the upper hip and the top sirloin. It's labeled only for sub-Q in cattle. And here's the kind of injection site abscess that you have. This is 1 week after, and now this is 2 weeks after the injection. Okay? So, you know, there's still room for improvement. I'm not sure who, I hope we never see this guy. I hope he never sees us. But pretty sure it was taken out of state anyway. So we're going to stop there. And what we'd like to do, I'm going to let Doc and Dan take over, and we're going to go through and talk about how these injections were given, what they were, and then we'll actually be able to look at the injection sites on the screen. Doc?
Okay. Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Good. So you want to start on this one, Dan?
Sure.
Okay. So Dr. Pascal said the flat iron steak. Okay. That's a pretty important cut of meat now. It used to not be so much, right? So what happens, most shoots, how are they set up for? Can we really get into that net good with most shoots? Now, as the newer shoots, yes, but again, if you've had a shoot 10, 15 years, no. So a lot of people are just pretty close to the neck, right? So we did put one in the flat iron on this one just to show you what happens, okay? Also, sometimes it's not so that you'll get back up in here, back up in the and so what happens, again, pretty high cut of meat, right? So we did that on the other side, then we put it just a Clostridial on this one. So that's kind of what we did to the four quarters. One thing I wanted to stress a little bit about what Dr. Pascal was just talking about needles. How often, you know, how long do you use that needle? What happens when that needle bends? Do you straighten it back out? I just used it 3 times and I just bent it on a pipe. Can I straighten it out? Somebody? Anybody? No. Why don't I want to straighten it out? Number one, it's more likely to break, right? So what happens if I break a needle off in that animal? What do I do? I break a needle off in him. I'm sorry?
Panic,
I would. What do we do? Anybody? That animal cannot go in the food supply, period. If you can get that needle out, and you can get that needle out real fast, then you're all right, right? But what happens to that needle when it breaks? It goes to migrate. So you say, I'll carry him to the vet tomorrow. Good luck, you know. And I've chased a lot of those, practiced for a long time. That happened, right? So you can x-ray, you can go, but that thing, it's just almost impossible because those things tend to migrate. If you ever break a needle off, that animal cannot go to the food supply. Okay?
So just to kind of orient ourselves, we actually have this backwards, don't we? This should be right here. Okay? So this is what we call forequarter in a carcass. And it's made up, they've taken out the brisket and they've taken out the plate part of it. So they basically, this is what we call the primals. There's four primals in a beef animal. There's the chuck right here, then the rib, the loin, and then the round. Those are the four higher price cuts in the beef carcass. And so why this is important is because the beef checkoff has spent a lot of money trying to help increase the value of these chuck cuts. And the biggest one of those, of course, is this flat iron. which now sells at about $6 to $7 a pound. And where one time it was thrown into ground beef or sold in a seven-bone roast, as he talked about, for $1.89 a pound. And so they were successful, and that increases the value of the entire animal, of course, right? But now when we put a shot, when we're supposed to put it in the neck right here, and instead we get a little further back and we get in the shoulder, first of all, you might notice you have to be careful because there's a lymph node here. What's the function of a lymph node?
Okay, sure. What the lymph node does, it's draining all that area, right? So you get any inflammation or infection in there, that lymph node's going to swell. What happens when you get a sore throat? Lymph node swell, right? And you neck somewhere.
So he gave the shot into, I imagine, probably pretty much in this direction. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You start seeing the edema mm-hmm. that's been built up right here. I don't know if that's showing up. Is that showing up right here? You see that kind of oozy? Okay, so that's part of it, particularly a week old. How old are these suggestions?
13 days.
13 days.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take? It depends. It depends on the circulatory system. It depends on the muscle itself. But you can open this up and we're starting to see this. So this is the flat iron. And we really, you know, a major cut now where we used to say, well, you know, put it up in the front of the animal because this is really valuable. Okay. Now we want to make sure we get it in the right place when we get up to the front. Okay. So we'll pull this out and then start trying to get into it and see what we see inside of that. This is the flat iron we're talking about right here. That cut right there. Put that there. And you see that kind of ooey look on it. If you cut into it, I don't know if this was under the skin or in the muscle.
It was in the muscle.
And you start seeing right here, there's a little bit of a callus in that muscle. Okay, should go the right way. Also, sometimes some of these do not actually make a callus, they make a spider. Here we go, right here. This one is a callus right here. Everybody see that? And so right now it's affected. It started right about here. I can see just remnants of it. Here's one full steak. Here's another. Okay. See a piece of it right here. So we're still into it. Maybe all the way to the head of this muscle, we'll probably see that. Actually, no, we're just down it. But you see the spider web looking? See that, in addition to this callus that we're seeing right here, and we also can get this spider web looking. That's not Marvin. This animal's too young to have Marvin in this spot. Okay? So what that is what ends up happening is as it assimilates that, you know, that muscle starts to heal and it goes away. I mean, there's no, you know, animal health product is not the issue by the time this animal is slaughtered. What the issue is we've had this blemish now in the muscle. And secondly, we've also changed the tenderness rating of that muscle as well. What they discovered is that when you give a shot in one place in that muscle, it radiates for at least 3 inches around that muscle throughout the cut. So it really renders that much tougher, a much tougher product. Of course, that's less desirable from a consumer standpoint. So that's what we see. What ends up happening is that active fluid-filled lesion, as it goes away, starts to actually be... I would say this might be an older lesion than the 13-day-old one. So somebody gave a shot to this animal earlier in its life, and now we're seeing this. You know, this kind of edema-looking thing, stuff that we see here, that's probably more a part of that what he's given lately, right here. And that's probably an older lesion that animal. Somebody gave that animal a shot, which is always fortunate for demonstration purposes. And then when you see this, that's that web. Kind of a spider web. So you go from active fluid filled lesion like this to connective tissue and fat. The muscle dies and the muscle is replaced with connective tissue and fat. So that's what's going on there. We'll see that much more dramatically in some of these other places. We'll put this on a plate. I'll cut it in two and you guys can see. That way we can get twice as much coverage, right? Since our plates are small. Much more dramatic.
Okay, so one of the points that I wanted to make on that Banamine, the reason I stuck Banamine in there, anybody in here use Banamine, food Nixon, treat cattle? How do you use it? Where do you put it at? Sub-Q in the neck, okay. How's it labeled? And I'm not being picky, I'm trying to make a real point here. The other day, there is a new transdermal Banamine, right, that you can put on the skin that was just released. But up until that time, the only way Banamine in cattle you can give it is IV. The withdrawal is 4 days. Guess what happens when you put it in the muscle? First of all, it's illegal, but guess what that withdrawal just went to? At least 60 days. See, so you're altering things a lot. So say this calf, or say this is a cow, right? And she doesn't respond real good. So I take her down to the sale barn. She winds up at the, and how long till she's going to be on somebody's plate? That withdrawal's not gone. Always read those directions. That's what they were talking about.
So like a cow, that cow's going to be harvested, at least out of our region, out of our auction barn. It could be harvested the next morning. So you're going to have one cycle. So you must also make sure that those animal health products from a withdrawal state have been eliminated before they leave your premise. Don't assume that you got 3 or 4 days before that's going to happen. You got to work that in and not ship that animal until that has been, that animal has gone through its proper withdrawal.
But even a calf like this, what's going to happen to this calf? He's sick, right? So we treated him. He's not getting any better. He goes to the sale barn. Somebody, what's going to happen to this calf potentially?
And, of course, when you get to the auction barn, what do they ask you to sign? An affidavit that this animal has been withdrawn. So you are legally and criminally involved if you don't sign that correctly.
So if that animal's a chronic, then the point I'm going to, he's going to slaughter. They're going to realize him out, so he'll be ground into hamburger or whatever. They can, even young, can wind up in the food chain.
So what's on the right side of this one? This is much more dramatic.
Okay, that's exceed.
Exceed. Talk about
okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about, anybody in here use Exceed? Exceed. Exceed is only labeled to go one place, and that's in the base of the ear or the middle third of the ear. Reckon why we put it in the ear. Anybody? I'm sorry? Because we don't eat the ear. Exactly, we don't eat the ear, right? So we're putting it in. But it's hard to do. It's not hard. You got to catch your head, so it's a little more time-consuming, right? So people are putting that in the muscle. They're putting it under the skin. They're putting it in dart guns or whatever, whatever. First of all, that is very illegal. We lost that drug about 10 years ago because the people, the class of drugs, the human side uses that to treat salmonella. We got it back. You cannot use that drug extra label. So it's illegal to put that drug in there. But then I want to show you what the inflammation looks like. Okay, then what would the withdrawal with this be? Who knows? See, so always read the label. Always read the directions and follow those directions.
So if it's not given by the proper route or it's not given in the proper place, that changes the withdrawal time.
Exactly, exactly.
Right. So when we look at this, you guys see all this ooey-gooey kind of fluid right here? That's just edema. That's a bruise, kind of like a bruise, but edema that's built up. And this is given sub-Q?
It's given in the muscle. That was just, yeah.
That's right, because this is the way these muscles were laying, right here. You see how that's together, this muscle. And so he gave a shot right down here. I cut this off the back, and so now if you look between that, okay, it's in this seam, it's affecting this muscle, and it's affecting, to a little bit extent, this muscle as well. This muscle is the real flat iron, this muscle is a rhomboideus, or I forget the name, official name of the muscle that lays up against that. I'm going to go ahead and cut the one muscle off and just put the gooey gooey part up. If anybody would like gloves and like to touch, they'd be welcome to come with the glove. Okay, where do we want to go now? We want to go to the rump?
Yeah, we'll go back. Yeah.
All right, so now we're looking at the left. You have to kind of think about this. This is the left side of the beast, right? And so what do we got going on here? I see some things without really getting into it that are already kind of popping up. First of all, look at that. What is that? What did you get there? Left side?
Left side.
Throne.
Yeah, that's going to be Beto.
Okay, so Beto, I can see actually the entry part. Mm-hmm. See that little blood spot there? That's the entry part of the needle right there. Okay. Also, you can see the same thing going on right here, Joe, if you want to.
Okay.
So let's go with this one. This one's
the top one? Okay. Anybody in here use LA-200? Okay. How do you give it?
Can't remember.
Okay? It is labeled sub-Q only or IV only. It used to be up until just a few years ago, it was labeled IM sub-Q or IV. It's a lot easier to give back here than it is in the neck, isn't it? As much as you got to put in there. But then let's look and see what kind of mess it makes.
So, now what are we talking about here? So this is the sirloin, which is high price cuts. And this is the round. And that, anybody ever buy an eye around steak? Okay. It's fairly tough anyway, but we're not helping it out with this. This injection was given into the eye of round.
Okay. Yeah.
So as we pull that back down, we might just go to the corner there. Let's just pull this eye around out and see what happens.
I apologize. Down on the bottom. Where you're at, that's Baytrol. I'm sorry. I had my deal turned up.
So you got Baytrol?
That's Baytrol. And again, Baytrol is only supposed to be given sub-Q also, right? Interflex.
Anybody wants to see us to cut up real carcass coming at 6 o'clock tonight out to the trade show? We'll be cutting up a real carcass. I will not be using the same knives.
Oh, come on, Dave.
And the same clip. I will change them. Jason Beckley back there, I was doing that on the real end, but you get a better idea of value. All right, yeah, I had to go a little deeper because it went further than I expected. So, we've got to do that right here. So, where did that shot go? That shot went in right here. So, let's just cut in right there and we'll work both directions. What is that? See what we're talking about?
Those?
And now let's just see how much is affected. So we'll go this way. I'm going to cut this about an inch thick. Oops, still there. Inch thick.
Bacon.
Oops, still there. Actually, this is the eye around. I cut it out just like it is. Oops, there is a spot right there. We're just to the end of it. Let's go the other direction. Getting worse, actually going this way. So you guys see that? Is that projected?
Yeah, it is now.
Now, come on, cameraman.
Well, you know.
I know you get what you pay for.
That's it. That's exactly right.
It's getting worse. Look at that. And now let's kind of look at the kind of how this is. You see the wall. See the kind of, this was an active fluid filled lesion when it first started. And now you have this wall of connective tissue. You see the white around the outside. Over time, that whole area will become grizzled, in fact. So look at it, affected everything from this end of the cut to this end. So basically all but this very last section affected by one shot.
So when the butcher gets into that, like that, what does he do? I mean, does he just cut around that? I mean, how do you deal with that?
So he'll cut this out. So if he sees this, he'll cut this out. If it's white, he'll throw it in the ground beef because it's fat. There's nothing wrong with it. It's now it's just fat connective tissue. It'll throw it in, put it in fat. He doesn't really know. So this kind of, I'm glad you asked that question, because where did this injection stuff all start? Well, people came to them and said, steak cutters came to them and said, we have cancer in your beef. These are people that are cutting basically these top sirloins. That's where it started. They were cutting into and cutting steaks. Steak cutters, they bring the whole top sirloin, they cut steaks for large steak. And they said, well, you got cancer, you got a problem. And of course we said, we don't have cancer. These animals, of course, way too young for all of that. But guess what? It wasn't cancer, it was people giving injections in the top cut. At that point, they just did a survey and one out of every four top sirloins were affected. Now it's about one out of every 20, one out of every 25 because of the educational effort that we've done with you. So you might say, well, I don't get paid to give shots in the neck. You don't. But as an industry, it's the right thing to do. Because just imagine the perception that you have, the tougher product that you have. If you're shooting yourself in the foot if you want people to leave the beef, if you just put it in the wrong place. So it's up to you. It's your decision. But we'll pass a few of these around. So you can okay, what's the next one?
Okay, so up here's going to be the tetracycline, LA200.
All right, let's just do it on the beast. We're going to go sideways, see what we can find. So what we're looking at, all right, right here. So it's right in here. We'll bring the camera around and take a look at it.
Yep.
So this is, right in this is the very part. Anybody ever have an Outback special? This is the Outback special. Okay? We made it really special for you guys. Now, my parents, you know, you're the only group I've ever told this to, but I do not eat guacamole. Don't eat guacamole because of working and things like that. There's nothing wrong with guacamole, please. This is not guacamole, but it just brings that to memory every time I see it, okay? So just know that. We don't want to put guacamole in our meat, okay? So as we go through here now, don't, you know, that's between us.
Good thing there's no avocado growing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Avocados were great. It's just like guacamole.
Oh, okay.
You guys see that? There it is. So we had started here. I bet we can go this way, because I think that was where I went in was the actual injection side. Woohoo! Yeah, then we're going with it. You guys actually seen anything on the screen?
Yeah.
Or do you want to know? There's a piece of it right here at the very bottom. I'll pull these out for you. See if we can go one more steak this way and see what happens. So now we're into the rump roast. And there is some scarring right there. Then let's go this way a little bit. We're continuing on. Now we're going closer to the strip loin. Right there, still there. Wow, how much did you give?
30 cc's, which is pretty much what people would give to that cat. Yeah.
Okay.
That's LA 200. Well, that's the whole point. This is the way it used to be given because it's real easy to give it there. It's a lot easier. It needs to be in the neck, and now that's only labeled to go under the skin. Now, up until a few years ago, that carried an IM label.
So still scarring here.
13 days from the time that I euthanized. I euthanized it yesterday, so it was 13 days prior to that.
So,
pull a couple out.
You know, over time, this is going to turn into just a solid white mass. Okay, so, I don't know how much time it is. I'll put one out here. Pass that one around. I'll put this one on a plate and you can clean it on.
Okay, good.
So the gristle's probably not always gristle, huh?
Well, it is. At one time it was an inject, may have been an injection. Oh, just go, I'm serious. There's nothing from a food
safety. Oh, I'm sorry. You need to make a movie of that?
Yeah, well, I really wouldn't. I'm not much of a videographer. Jack of all trades, but trained. And a master of men.
So I want you to get the idea this is not a food safety issue unless you put it in a cow. Okay, but if you, and it goes as an active fluid filled lesion, but by the time it gets, you know, we give our shots as calves, right? You know, vaccinations or when they get, you know, because of the stress when they first get sick, we'll give them shots at that point. Generally, later, they're not going to go to harvest for 120, 180 days. So that thing's long gone. Any animal health product's long gone unless you don't give it correctly. Okay? And then secondly, any other, you know, that product is turned into fat and gristle by the time it gets to the
market.
Okay. You want to do the other side?
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you got over here?
Okay, so the other side, we got Banamine down here. We got Exceed up here.
Right
down.
Yeah. Okay, so
Banamine. No, Exceed up here. I keep looking at this thing backward. Exceed up here, Banamine.
Then.
When that previous cut was LA 200, oh. Oxytetracycline. Yes,
sir. What was which one made that? What was the last one you cut up?
That was oxytetracycline or LA 200 biomycin. Oh, those are just trade names for oxytetracycline.
You're good. I'm
just sorry. So I'm pulling the whole through one out. Well, not the whole through one, but two-thirds. And it said it gave a shot at this sirloin, so let's see. Maybe two. Let's see what we got. So it looks like there's an entry point right here. Okay, so let's see if we may be a little high because I see more down there. Oh, there it is. There's a piece of it.
Point to that again, Dan.
So the entry point, it looks like right here, there's a little continuation of it here, so I got a little too rude. So it looks like we're going to pull one more stake off, pull a stake at a time off and see what happens.
So in each of these instances, you're saying it's not a food safety issue, only in certain respects.
Okay. So how this would be a food safety issue in a cat, of course, what Dan's saying is like a cow, right? You give it to her, and she goes to the auction market in 3 days. Withdrawal in L.A. is 35 days. And she didn't get any better. You know, so in a week, I sent her to the sale barn. She's going to wind up on somebody's plate. But the danger with calves like this, okay, so if I'm a stocker operator, right, and I've doctored and doctored and doctored that calf, and he doesn't get any better, okay, then I'm going to sell him, and he's going into the feeders, right? They don't want to buy him, so I take him to the sale barn. Somebody buys him. What happens to those calves? They're realized, what they call realized, right? So they take those cattle and they'll buy them and they'll grind them up, right? They're obviously not going to be choice, but they're not going to be wasted either. So anytime you put injection in any animal, I don't care what age it is, make sure you honor the withdrawal and put it in the way it's supposed to be.
All right. So here we are on this eye brow. I already kind of cheated and looked inside there, and it's kind of
ugly. Okay.
What do we got there?
Banamine.
Uh-huh. And that should be given intravenously.
Intravenously or now with the skin application.
So what's the withdrawal time difference between intramuscular and intravenous?
4 days versus 60 days. 4 days versus 60 days. And actually, there's not a withdrawal time for IM because it's illegal to give it IM. But if you accidentally did and you call FARAD, who's kind of gives... they'd tell you 60 days before you need to slaughter that animal.
Maybe that's a question we're waiting.
Uh-huh.
On the injection sites on the neck,
uh-huh.
The two triangles, the two ones that work together,
uh-huh.
The sub-Q and muscle.
The larger one would be in the sub-Q area because it's not going to touch the muscle. The smaller one is a little bit more restricted to get away from the flat iron, get them up. Essentially, it's about 2 fingers in front of the shoulder to keep the intramuscular shocks away from the shoulder.
Okay.
Okay?
So sub-Q and muscle there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And so you have both sides, too. So you got left side and right side. A lot of people just realize, you think, oh, I'm going to give all my shots on one side.
Stand on one side of the chute.
Yeah, exactly.
Lazy walk around.
So how far apart should you give shots in the neck?
Now, one of the other classes said that you should give them a line or something so they don't run together. I don't understand that one. You should give different shots.
Horizontally rather than vertically.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Good. Probably Dr.
Horizontal
Good.
Instead of vertical.
Well, that might be a good way. That might be just a good way that you can figure out where you're going to give, where you gave the last shot. You know, lots of times you get in a hurry, and I know I do, I just stick this one here. Try to always stick the same one in the same place.
Yeah.
And but that way it sort of gives you a visual reference. I'm always going to give this vaccine or this shot here, and then 4 inches or a hand back here, I'm going to give this sort of in a straight line. So you're not giving it down here or up here or whatever. Just as a way to, a method of a reference.
Right.
Well, when Dr. Herdrow gave this shot, he gave it actually between the eye round and the outside round, the bottom round. So that muscle actually did impact a little bit of that outside round. You see it here. And see also there's some just barely inside this interspace between these two muscles. You see it here, right there. See it right here. So you got it in the muscle. You also got it in the seeing fat between the two. I have other ones to do, but I know we're out of time. You guys probably got the idea.
And even if you give an injection the proper way, you follow the label, you follow the directions, you're still going to have that. The idea is to have it where it will not be high value product, high value cut. Okay? That's the whole idea.
But it doesn't hurt the animal if you give it the rear or whatever. It's just you're messing up the meat.
That's exactly right.
Nice
okay.
job.
Actually, it'd be good if it did hurt the animals, and we could keep doing it, right?
I get a question. Can I take this home for my dogs? No, you can't.
You should.
Any questions?
My dog would eat.
A whole bunch. Go ahead.
They don't affect the tissue. No, no. I mean, no, there's nothing that's not going to be a problem. Modified lice propagate, kill don't, but that's a whole different deal. That doesn't affect carcass quality, as long as you're following the withdrawal.
Yeah. But as far as the injection of the particular product, you just follow the same protocol. If it's an intramuscular shot, make sure you put it down deep in the muscle of the neck. I'd say intramuscular shots, I try to stay away from being close to the jaw, okay? Because I got so much more muscle back here in front of that shoulder blade to work with. And so if I'm going to give intramuscular shots, I typically give them back here in the back part of the neck, okay? Closer to the shoulder. In subcutaneous, I have a little bit narrower spot, but I still have plenty of skin. But no, there won't be any difference. And, you know, as long as we give the shots in the appropriate, one doesn't make any worse of a subcutaneous makes the least blemish, right? And even if you're given an antibiotic subcutaneously, it's not going to really affect the muscle. It's going to be absorbed a little bit more slowly than antibiotics that are put in the muscle. Okay? But nonetheless, you know, just follow the label, follow the directions, use the least irritating route, and try to keep as many of those injections. You know, there may come a day when we're actually able to pour stuff on, or squirt more vaccines up their nose, and that'll be great, because then we wouldn't need them.
And animal health companies are working on this, as far as dose, magnitude of dose.
A 2cc dose for black lean as opposed to a 5cc dose. It's a huge difference. We used to have a 5cc cost radial product and no 2cc product, in the feed yard we would see neck trim on probably 90% of the cattle. Even though the product was being used properly, it was in the muscle product, 5cc, in the neck, we'd see neck trim anywhere from 1 to 5 pounds on every animal, sometimes on both sides. Now, almost all feed yards have gone to a 2cc product underneath the skin. Very seldom do I ever see any neck trim. So that's sort of a, you know, positive story there. But
drug's going to be absorbed, whatever. No. In other words, especially going to the neck, you've got a lot of different muscle cuts there, so no, you're not going to affect the drug. No, sir. No, sir.
Anybody else?
Does a USDA inspector downgrade a carcass because parts of it have infection site?
If they see a abscess on the animal, they're going to do two things. They're going to maybe rail that animal off and look at it more closely, and second is they're more apt to take a residue test. They do residue tests at these establishments on a regular basis. And those animals that are suspect for potentially having been given an animal health product, they would take a tissue sample from that or kidney sample and do a screening to see if there might be some residues. So they do residue testing on a regular basis, and they might be more apt to zero in on that animal.
Yes, ma'am.
So when we work our calves every spring, we give it in the armpits.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean,
okay.
Because we give 4 shots. We give our cattle master, we give Wolfman, Wormer, and Calvary Nut.
Okay.
So
are you working in a calf table, or how are you working?
We drag them.
Drag them, okay. So one of the things that Jason Bagley, we visited a little bit about, is okay. The only thing to be careful, Jason, can you address that real quick on the brisket? We talked about that a little bit the other day.
So you're talking about the dewlap, but they're talking about the elbow pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you pull back to get to the elbow pocket, that's the
brisket.
Point.
Yeah, where the foreskin.
That's where...
So don't
that's where giving the injection site sub-Q correctly, making sure it's sub-Q, because it is very easy to get in between muscles.
The elbow pocket is only for sub-Q in the elbow pocket.
Right.
But be careful with the longer needle, because that, you know, a lot of people that drag calves, everybody's in a hurry, right, ma'am?
Well, that's what we did in the problem with.
Sure. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
You're
not the only one.
Do all the vaccinations,
yes, ma'am.
And they don't give a crap where they
right.
just
yeah.
do it and get done. So, yeah, that's kind of.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's a good point.
Yes.
What you bring. Just knowing who, making sure the people that work in your cattle know what your expectations are.
Well, it really is. I mean, it is a recommendation. Yeah. It's an industry recommendation. It has been probably since, well, the early 90s, to try to move all shots out of the hip into the neck region, or maybe except all intramuscular shots. At least in my experience, we still have some progress. We don't see anybody injecting the ribeyes, okay? But I still see a lot of people doing reproductive work that think that they need to give those hormones in the hip. And then occasionally we see day workers or folks that old timers, myself included, sometimes will give shots, not me, but they'll give shots where we're not supposed to be given. And so that's the whole purpose of this demonstration, so that you can kind of, you may understand why we don't do it, but now you can visualize what's actually going on.
So does the branding ever, I mean, I know that's a dumb question, but does branding ever affect that part or where you brand at hurt the meat?
No, unless you overbrand, unless you hold in hot iron.
Yeah.
If you don't do it correctly, you can actually see the imprint of your brand on the meat, but that's pretty rare.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And if your iron is cherry red hot, it's too hot.
Too hot.
It needs to be sort of ash gray. Then you don't have to worry about it. Same thing true of people like to freeze brand. Okay. You can get a freeze brand extremely cold enough that it'll burn. But most people don't. You know, they're in a hurry. Most problem with freeze branding is they don't leave them on long enough.
So I would say a BQA recommendation for branding is to put it on the butt or the shoulder,
yep.
Not put it on the side, because that's the most valuable part of the hide by far.
On the rib brand?
Rib brands are frowned on because that's what they use for leather, car seats, for sofas. If you want to put it on the butt, then we make belts out of the butt, you know, but that's in your shoes. But you want high value leather, it's on the side. So recommendation, that's all we do with BQA, is to put it on the butt and the shoulder, not on the rib. So if you could re-register your brand in your county on the shoulder or the butt, we recommend that.
Anybody else? It's good. Well, thank you all so very much. We hope you learned them. And if you like it, like a quarter, come get one.
Or come take a look.
Come take a look at the cutting if you'd like.